Leaders are all around us, at all times, and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In this episode of the Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU's Joe Riley speaks to Cheryl Pooler, homeless liaison for Waco ISD. This conversation was recorded November 2012 in the KWBU studio.
The Central Texas Leadership Series is sponsored by HEB, a Texas tradition for more than 100 years, serving and supporting of your neighborhood to enrich your quality of life. HEB, here everything's better.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Joe Riley, talking today with Cheryl Pooler, homeless liaison for Waco ISD. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you
for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Why don't we start? What is a homeless liaison? What does that mean to be a homeless liaison in Waco ISD?
McKinney-Vento is the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act, and it basically is law, federal law, that requires every school district to appoint a person called a homeless liaison. Their job is to address the needs of any students who are homeless within that school district.
So how big a problem is this? How many homeless students are there?
In Waco ISD, it is a fairly large problem because we also have a large poverty problem in Waco. And so for the past 3 or 4 years, I would say I've been working at Waco ISD for 3 years. For the last 3 years, we've averaged 1,500 students per year who are McKinney-Vento homeless. And there's a specific definition that creates a situation where a child is considered homeless, according to McKinney-Vento.
And that definition, what is that?
That is when it means an individual or a student who lacks a fixed and regular or adequate nighttime residence. So this is going to include kids who are sharing the housing with other people, people being doubled up, which is a problem, you know, that's a huge issue in Waco with the poverty issues that we have. We have many families living doubled up. But then it goes on to include children in shelters, hotels, campgrounds, kids even living on the street, or families who are on the street sleeping in their cars. I've had families sleeping on the floor at the bus station. And so they come in all sorts of backgrounds, but the broadest category of our students in Waco ISD are families living doubled up due to financial hardship.
Are these temporary situations, or are they?
Yes, because many times they're there for 3 or 4 months, and then they have to move in with another relative, and so these families are highly mobile. They are bouncing around within the city, so they're not leaving Waco, but their kids are never plugged into a living situation that has a permanent feel to it. About the time they get comfortable, they have to move on to another place. Maybe they're not on the lease at the friend's house where they're staying, and they can't run the risk of someone else getting kicked out of their apartment or losing their housing because they're letting someone live with them. And so the families are highly mobile and the kids end up bouncing around. And McKinney-Vento law specifically addresses needs in those types of situations.
So the kids themselves staying at one place, that's a temporary place for them. But the situation that they are legally homeless is not necessarily a temporary.
No, it's not likely to resolve, you know, very quickly. Because of the poverty in our community, the families are struggling with jobs and affordable housing. The two main ways that people are becoming homeless, according to research, is lack of safe, affordable housing is the number one reason. And then another reason that oftentimes families become homeless is because of health issues. They've lost their job because of mental health or physical health issues. And then that creates a domino effect of losing their home, losing their belongings, being uprooted.
Is this a particularly large problem in Waco? Is Waco unique in this?
Waco is, I wouldn't say terribly unique, but it is a big problem in Waco because our numbers are as high as they are in larger cities. And we're not a big city. We're not San Antonio. We're not Dallas. We're not Austin. But our numbers per capita are there with the larger cities, which is how Waco ISD became eligible for a significant part of the grant. It's through the Texas Homeless Education Office. There's a grant that provides my services and some outreach to families who are homeless in Waco ISD.
So it's a state grant.
It's because it's through the federal law. The state manages federal funds, and it provides for my position within Waco ISD, and it also will help us provide tutors and shelters. We provide transportation. When children are living in doubled-up situations and they're bouncing around, McKinney-Vento law says that child stays at their school of origin. So if, for example, they've started school at Parkdale Elementary, but they're bouncing from Kendrick's attendance zone to Alta Vista's attendance zone, they still stay at Parkdale Elementary.
What if they bounce temporarily out of Waco ISD?
We still provide transportation to the school of origin. We have families who have moved to Robinson ISD, Midway ISD, La Vega, Conley. We go and pick up those children and keep them in their school of origin, because research shows that every time a child changes schools, they fall behind academically 3 to 6 months. And so the McKinney Law helps protect a child's right to an education, and, you know, regardless of their homeless status. And so the kids stay in the same classroom, the same friends, the same teacher. They are getting something that's very consistent, even though things in their home life is not consistent. They're bouncing around. They're at an uncle's house, they're at a cousin's house, then they're at a friend's house. But every day they're going to be going back to that classroom, to the same teacher, the same friends, and hopefully staying caught up or getting caught up academically.
Does every school district have a homeless liaison?
Yes. It's listed on the website for the Texas Homeless Education Office.
And so every school district needs a homeless liaison? This is
Most districts are aware of the need. I don't think the need is so great that it becomes a main focus of a group of students. For Waco ISD, we're right at almost 10%, right at about 10% of our students are McKinney-Vento homeless. That's a pretty significant population of students struggling with a permanent place to live. So I would say my position as a liaison is a lot busier than someone in another district that's more financial resources, or their economic landscape in their community may not look quite like Waco.
Is this something that's getting better? Is it getting worse? Has it been this way? How long has it been this way?
I think it's been this way consistently at 1,500 now for 3 years. Before that, it was around 1,200, 1,300, and then it's leveled off. My feeling is it's actually getting better because it's not raising higher, even though poverty and the economic climate has not necessarily improved drastically in Waco in 3 years. And so in that, I guess I would say that it's leveled off. We have stabilized and we're able to identify the students. We're also doing a better job of connecting families to resources, really trying to utilize community resources like Christian Women's Job Corps, Goodwill, any kind of financial resources or supports that can help get the family back on their feet and supporting their, you know, family again. That's what they want. That's what's best for them and the kids. And a lot of times they don't even know that resources are available. They don't know where to go for help. And so we are partnering with agencies and just trying to help educate families and let them know what's available for them.
What is available? Specifically, what do you do? What do you offer?
I provide assistance, first of all, with there are three shelters in town. So when a family comes to me, if they're homeless, like they slept in their car last night homeless, the first place I will call is Salvation Army and ask if there's room at Sally's house. Sally's house is a transition or an emergency shelter for families, and women with children can go and stay there. It gets hard when it's a whole family, because then dad has to go stay at the men's shelter and mom and the kids have to stay there at Sally's house. but it's a bed and it's a safe, it's, you know, they're not sleeping in the car. So Salvation Army is a tremendous resource for me. If there's housing is or homelessness is due to domestic violence, Family Abuse Center has an immediate response to those situations where they can come and meet with the family, and then they provide emergency shelter for the family and counseling, and they have case management and resources. They also have some follow-up transitional housing that is going, it works beautifully for families now, and Kathy Reed does a beautiful job with the Family Abuse Center and any of our Waco ISD kids who go into that facility. The other program that I use is Compassion Ministries, and that's transitional housing, and it's more long-term. Most families are there between 3 and 6 months, and there's rules about what you would have to do to be eligible to go there and then continue to live there. It's a very strict programming that is truly designed to empower a family to get the skills they need to live independently and get back on their feet again. And so those are the three resources for housing that I use in Waco. Just the sad thing is the demand exceeds the supply. And this is across the board a national issue. There's never a city that says, oh, we have plenty of beds for all of our homeless people. It just isn't there for anyone. And in Waco, it's a particular challenge because there's another population of homelessness that's been creeping up in not just Waco, but it's a national trend, and it's the unaccompanied youth. And those are kids who are coming to school every day, but they've either left home or been kicked out or just left because there's any number of problems and, you know, issues going on in the home. There's no shelter for those kids. I call them my couch surfers because they kind of make a career out of hanging with a friend or staying, you know, on the good graces of their friends, sleeping on couches all over. And they're still in school every day. And many of them are doing well academically. Their private life is unraveling by the minute, but academically they're holding it together and staying in school. And that's what we want. The best place for those students is in school. We know they're warm. They have two meals a day. McKinney Vento provides breakfast and lunch every day. Their ticket out of poverty is their education. Mm-hmm. And so I work really hard to stay on top of those students who are classified as an unaccompanied youth. If they started school on August 23rd, I want to make sure they're finishing the school year. And so we work really hard to keep up with them and find them and keep them in school.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to get back to that in just a few minutes and talk a little bit more about unaccompanied youth. This is, for those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series, and I'm Joe Riley talking with Cheryl Pooler, Waco ISD's homeless liaison. Let's talk a little bit about you right now. What's your background? How did you end up doing what you do?
I am a social worker, and I come from a large family that was highly impoverished as well. I'm the first kid in my family to ever go to college and much less get a master's degree. And so I really feel like it was a divine intervention on my behalf. It's not like I woke up one day and said, I'm going to do this, this, and this. It sort of just, I can't say it just sort of happened because obviously I had to make it happen, but I really feel like the Lord was just leading me in a direction, and I was in a place where I could listen and follow. And so I'm a preacher's kid and grew up in the country on a farm, and I feel like I'm doing what I was made to do. This was where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do.
Can you point to any person who maybe had the greatest influence on you?
Sure. My father is a Pentecostal preacher, very fiery guy, has a heart just for people and very compassionate and loving, and always was willing to reach out to those who were less fortunate. I did not realize growing up that we were part of that group. But that's the beautiful part of being in that kind of a situation. People generally look out for each other and help each other a lot. And so that was just modeled to me, that you look out for your fellow friends. And so I grew up just knowing that that was a part of who we should all be. We should all be concerned about our fellow man.
Since you've become a homeless liaison, I mean, I'm not sure specifically that's what you set out to be, is it?
No. I worked in mental health, community mental health, for 22 years. And then we moved to Waco, Texas 3 years ago. And I was ready for something different. So I had worked as a therapist in mental health and was a supervisor and did a lot clinically with adults and children with severe mental illness. And as we moved to Texas, it was a very big change for our family. My husband had accepted a position with Baylor. He teaches in the School of Social Work. So we're a social work family. And I just felt like there was a time for a change. And I happened to just fall upon the job description for a social worker for homeless outreach. And it was a position created through grant funding that the district had secured. And I knew a lot about homelessness, because anytime you work with mental health, you're going to be dealing with homelessness as a fringe issue. And I was lucky enough to get the job.
What kind of leadership skills, since this is the leadership series, what mm-hmm. kind of leadership skills do you call on in your job?
I am a firm believer in being transparent. So I'm going to ask for help when I need it. I'm going to offer help if I feel like it's needed. And I'm going to try to stay current with what the research trends are telling us. I feel like it's my job as a leader in the district to know what's going on with poverty. Where are we at as a community? Where are the families? What are they struggling with? What are their challenges? I wouldn't be a very valuable employee if I didn't do those things. I wouldn't be a very effective leader if I wasn't doing my part, looking up and researching some things.
What's the hardest decision you ever had to make?
Prioritizing the needs that come. Sometimes life isn't first come, first serve. Sometimes it has to be about this person's needs are more important. It's almost like an emergency room. The person who, you know, got a small cut on their finger isn't going to get taken in before the person who's been in the, you know, a traumatizing accident of some sort. So just triaging where to go first. And homelessness is very serious. It brings on all kinds of things. You're worried about, you know, children and food insecurity and all kinds of things, and just trying to prioritize where to put my energy first every day, it can be challenging.
Well, that actually, my next question was going to be from the hardest you ever made to what challenges you face day to day, but that's what you just answered. That's what you face every day, is triage.
Yeah, yeah, figuring out how there's one social worker in homeless outreach for the district. And it's challenging when you're pulled in different directions all at one time to just put your energy into one situation at a time and figure it out.
For those who are just joining us, this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Joe Riley talking with Cheryl Pooler, Waco ISD's homeless liaison. And I have never been in this situation. I've never been homeless myself. It's hard for me to imagine. And you're dealing with it with others every day. Does it ever just feel overwhelming?
Yes, it does, because people come into homelessness for so many different reasons. Sometimes it's through the domestic violence, or sometimes it might be financial hardship. It's a family who's never, ever pictured themselves coming and asking for help. They were a middle-class family until 6 months ago, when a job was lost, and then, you know, they lose their home, they've lost cars, they've lost belongings, and it's overwhelming to hear the stories day after day after day of what people have lost and how their lives have been affected so terribly. Or maybe even, you know, they lose their home in a fire, and they, you know, they're just, they've lost everything in a split second, and they're trying to start over. It's very challenging.
What does Child Protective Services do? I mean, is there any kind of overlap between what you do and what they do?
Some, not as much as you would think. I know that a lot of people, even as a social worker, when I come to visit families, they think that I'm there as CPS and I'm going to try to take their kids away. But just because you're homeless, it does not create necessarily a CPS issue. My role with CPS is I'm a mandated reporter by the state because I'm a licensed social worker. And so if I feel like the children are at risk or in danger in some way, then I'm obligated to report. My role with CPS would be more in a supportive role. Is there something that they would be able to do as an agency that could come in and help this family? Maybe there's some support that's needed. I think sometimes we just assume that CPS is only about taking people's kids away, but the reality is they really want to try to help families stay intact as much as possible. And so I have had to use them in a supportive role before, and then there have been a few occasions where I just truly was concerned about the child's safety, their well-being, and you know, as a licensed professional, I'm a mandated reporter, I've had to make a call. It's part of being in public education. We all fall into those. Those aren't your best days when you have to make that phone call. But you sleep better at night when you know you've done the right thing for the kids.
I want to back up just a little bit. You were talking about, was it unaccompanied youth? Is that the way you described them?
Yes.
So you have a spread of ages, those who are with family of some sort in some situation, and then you have those who are older kids who are on their own.
Yeah, it's a very dangerous situation for the kids who are unaccompanied youth who are couch surfing, because statistics and research has shown us that many of these kids have been victimized either with abuse physically and or sexually. They are then oftentimes they're going to get into drugs or some illegal activity to support themselves. Human trafficking has become another major consideration with our unaccompanied youth. Research, I just came from a national conference in New Mexico, and the statistic has not changed. Within 48 hours of a child leaving home or being kicked out, there's a 50% chance that they'll become a victim of human trafficking. And so they will be tempted to sell their body or trade something in exchange for food and shelter. And so these are things we have to pay attention to and be aware of. And clearly then would become CPS issues if there's a suspicion of that or something like that going on, then I would have to call CPS. But it's very it's a difficult situation when they're 16 and 17 years old. There really isn't a lot that CPS is able to do at that age. I know it's surprising to a lot of people to find out that CPS doesn't just swoop in and take custody and put them, you know, in a facility somewhere. First of all, there isn't a facility to put them in. Secondly, There's enough stability for them. They're going to school every day. They're with a friend. They're not sleeping on the street. They're on a friend's couch. They have a roof over their head. And so from a CPS standpoint, oftentimes it's looked upon as this child is on a day-to-day basis making it. And there really isn't a lot that they can do from a CPS perspective.
What are the kinds of things day to day that these kids have to deal with just to make it?
Food and shelter are the number one concerns for the kids. They will wake up and know that they're going to school, but instead of being worried about the math test they have or did they get their homework done last night, are they going to eat? Where are they going to stay that night? How can I wash my clothes? I need money for something, you know, or I feel like I'm getting sick, I need a doctor. But there's so many things that parents take care of for kids that age, and these kids just all of a sudden find themselves without that support. And maybe they've never had it to a significant degree. So some of these kids are very resilient. They're survivors. And they just, you know, go into survival mode. And they know how to get things done. But they're the kids who you'll see toting their backpack, but they also often will have a trash bag, a hefty bag full of their clothes with them, because they don't know where they're going to be that night. And they have to keep everything that they have together. There's no, like, permanent landing spot. And so everything, they almost look like a hobo, I guess, in some ways. And that's a horrible thought that you would think about. But everything they have of value and significance is with them at all times.
And yet they stay in school.
And they're in school and thriving more often than not. We've identified the students. Teachers are reaching out to the kids. Administrators are reaching out to the students and trying to make sure that they have what they need to be successful in school. I get calls that they need help with uniforms or school supplies. That's a McKinney-Vento provision that I'm happy to make sure that the students have. A lot of times the administrators and teachers are providing that out of their own pocket for the kids. The food insecurity issue is a very big deal. I use Pack of Hope as a community resource to make sure that the students do have. So when they leave school on Friday afternoon, there is a bag of food that has been discreetly placed into their backpack, and it will sustain them through the weekend until they come back on Monday morning for breakfast.
Mm. What are things that we can do, rather than looking at agencies mm-hmm. who help? What are things that the people here in Waco can do to help? And what's going on?
The community is becoming more and more aware of the need. I think for a lot of years it wasn't just as understood that the problem was as significant as it was. The teachers knew that it was bad. The principals were aware, but now I feel like there's more education about McKinney-Vento, and so there's a deeper awareness. What that has created is some community supports and partnerships for Waco ISD that are just deeply appreciated and much needed. There's some local congregations who have created a uniform recycling program, and people can donate new and used uniforms to Waco ISD that are then used for students in need. People can donate to Pack of Hope for that, you know, those families who are experiencing food insecurity. We also are networking with agencies like the Shelters, Compassion Ministries, Family Abuse Center, and Sally's House. But there's a social services center at the Salvation Army it's just crucial to my families. They go there for all sorts of different resources and help. There's some case management available to them because the school district, we're public school, I can refer people and point people in the right direction, but I cannot provide the kind of services at the level of need that these families have. And so I'm so grateful that other agencies are, they hear me when I tell them, this is what I'm seeing, this is what our students need. And so they've responded by creating programs and building up supports that are making a difference in the lives of our students.
We're in the last few seconds of the show. What is the most important thing that needs to be addressed here in Waco to make a difference among homeless students?
Poverty. Poverty is the driving force behind homelessness and the desperate needs that our families face in our district.
Okay. So you chose something easy for that.
It's obvious and easy, but it's a very complicated issue.
Yes,
it's very complicated.
I did not mean that it was actually easy.
It's a
very complicated thing. And clearly, from what you have said, the whole issue is a big issue. And one that we all need to be thinking about. I think it's one that we're not all aware of. Cheryl Pooler, it has been very good and an eye-opener to talk to you and to hear about the work that you do with homeless students here in Waco. And I thank you for your thoughts and experiences about leadership and for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This conversation was recorded November 2012 in the KWBU studio.